FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 181, recorded December 11th, 2015. I'm your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me tonight in-house is Insane Galvatron.
Hey, hello, everybody.
Hopefully you can hear him. And if you don't want to look at the screen, hopefully you're just listening on the audio version of the podcast and you're not having to look at this ugly mug. Hey. I not only have to look at him, but I also have to smell him since he's here in the same room. He's kind of like one of those botcom people that you just smell.
Well, plus came here straight after work, so it's not like I had a chance to shower first.
And the smell of onions is just...
And I ate beans, so I'm like, there's a lot of weird smells.
Yeah, there's just like the smell of onions and a BO coming over here. I mean, he's...
You ruined it for my imagination. I was thinking it'd be more like Petulio, kind of like Stinkor from Masters of the Universe, you know?
Yeah. Ode to BotCon, or just ode to convention, for that matter. But along with us this evening is Rick Alvarez.
Hello, world of the internet.
And also... Jim Black, a.k.a. Moroni Prime.
Yay. Hi.
Yay. Is your mic, like, swung up on the side of your head?
Yeah, see, I've got a headset that has two different audio jacks, one for mic and one for headset, but my Chromebook only has one audio jack. It's meant for the single three-stripe dealy, and I don't have one of those.
Oh. So you can't make your Chromebook airtight then, huh? So
yeah, essentially, I have to choose between the mic or the headphones. Mm.
So. But at any rate, we are gearing up for next week, December 19th. Mark your calendars, December 19th, special night, which is a week from tomorrow, Saturday. And we are starting to air. We're going to be airing at a special time at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have a huge, huge show put together. Some things that are actually still in the works.
Huge.
But this is an episode that you do not want to miss. And if you watch the video live, or even if you watch it down the road, you're going to watch the whole thing because there's just going to be a lot of stuff going on. We're doing a Secret Santa among all the cast members, and we're going to be opening gifts, talking about why we like certain things, about that gift, why we wanted it, any relations. We're also going to be doing a sorts of best and worst of 2015. What's our personal picks for the best and worst figures of 2015 that are released this calendar year? So we're going to take a look at those. and a lot of other things. But you're not going to want to miss it. Believe me, you're not going to want to miss it. A lot of firsts. I don't think we've ever done anything quite like this. We've had holiday episodes before. I think last year was we had a good one where we kind of reminisced our favorite holiday memories. We may revisit that topic down the road.
I'll never forget the holiday episode that I hosted when you were kind of taking a hiatus, and the recording only caught like the first 7 minutes, so the episode never actually aired, even though we spent like 2 hours on here talking.
Which, you know, I also want to say Google Plus seemed to have an issue last week. We seem to have lost the first minute and a half, 2 minutes of last week's episode. And so if you go back and watch the video or listen to the audio, it just abruptly starts off with Brett talking about Headmasters. Hopefully that doesn't happen this week, which is why I'm kind of stringing out the intro to the show here.
None of this here is actually going to be in the show. You know?
Well, if it is truncated, then you know, you're just missing intros and some chit chat. But guys, I got to state again, tune in next week. It's going to be amazing. Yes.
Astonishing. Uncanny. Astonishing.
Yes.
Spectacular.
An all-star gala, you know, is the best way I can describe it. I mean, everybody from all points of the show is going to be here. So, yeah. Combiner Wars, Buzzsaw, any thoughts on that? I know there was a post I shared on the Facebook group a short while ago. What do you guys think about...
You know, let me just jump right into this, and I think this is, you know, I know you mentioned that next week we're going to talk about the best and the worst, but, man, I think there should be a whole other category of worst for this Buzzsaw figure. I mean, it's just a waste of resources, of design, of materials, peg space, ship, Jim, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Shipping, marketing, I mean, this is... I mean, they couldn't even put the stickers on right. Just paint the thing if you can't sticker them right. So you know, it is my pick for worst figure ever, and I think this trumps Armada Laserbeak.
No, I disagree. I don't think it's a good toy, like as far as fantastic, but I don't think it's that bad. I actually have fun just fiddling with it. This is one of the first toys in a long time that I actually took into the bedroom and sat on the nightstand next to the bed just so I could fiddle with it.
Good
night, everybody.
Yeah, if the show had ended that I just took into the bedroom with me, yeah.
First toy I took into the bedroom with me.
You know, Greg, I knew you were weird, but I didn't know you were that weird.
No, I just sat it on the nightstand to fiddle with it the next morning when I woke up.
Right.
I'm more concerned with the fact that it's a buzzsaw that he's taking into the bedroom.
I would not want to play with your RID train bots.
I don't actually have those, but I do have Astro.
You know those people who have been around. Those people who have been around on the TFW forums for many, many years will totally get this reference. But all I have to say are the words "Kitty Rose."
I've been on there for like 11 years, and I still didn't get it.
Yeah, it's actually, I think, predates that. I think it's, what, about 15 years
ago?
Well,
it was when RID was new.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, she bought her toy right off the shelf.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was on there. I just hadn't registered yet.
Team Silver Bullet Trains is all I got to say.
I was there sitting next to Tony Bacala when he launched the site that first night.
Running a bullet.
Nice.
Transfandom, and I don't even get that reference.
Wait, is that how it's pronounced?
It was in the Bacala.
Yeah,
well, it was on the board.
Well, some people say Bacala, but it's Tony Bacala.
I thought it was Bacala.
You could say it however you want. But yeah, Tony and I go way back, and I was sitting right next to him the night he split from Transfandom, and it was the 2005 board, and then that evolved into what we got now.
I barely remember TFW 2005 before Transfandom. Had the main page, had the Beats of Media and all that on. You know, the different remixes and things.
Yeah, that was also run by a guy named Rick.
Hmm.
I think he's dead now.
Some history. Really?
I think so.
Wow.
I mean, that's what the internet says.
If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Absolutely.
And well, who can forget the Orson? And I don't talk about, I'm not talking about the Captured Prey. Orson.
Oh, yeah. Orson's, yeah, world.
Orson's world.
I just spoke to that guy today.
Oh. How's he doing, by the way?
Oh, you know, he's doing good. You know, he's busy. He's got two kids now, and he's busy with Littlest Pet Shops over at the Big H. So,
yeah, I heard he got hired back on over there.
Well, he's a consultant. He didn't get hired back on. He's just he's an intern.
A freelancer?
A freelancer, yeah. Yeah, he's an hourly guy, you know. So they don't have to – sometimes they let a lot of people go, and then they try to get them back, but they pay them hourly, so they don't have to pay their benefits or anything like that. And kind of a dick move, but I mean, that's corporate America everywhere you go, unfortunately.
Well, I've actually –
Go ahead.
I've actually seen that at my workplace. You know, we had drivers, and then they let them go, and then bring them back a few months later as temporary drivers or fill-ins, and they don't get benefits, they don't get full pay. You know, yeah. It's like, why would you even agree to do that? You know, but you know, I'm sure Hasbro, working at Hasbro is totally different than that, but well, no, I mean, what I'm saying is that in my workplace, I don't know why you would do that.
Just remember, there's not a whole lot of toy companies out in Rhode Island where you can just go and apply to.
No. Toy companies in general, you know, I mean. Yeah. Unless
I mean, I got Lego, you know, 20 minutes down the street from me.
I thought they were in Europe.
Well, their U.S. headquarters is right here.
I see. Mm.
Like, but the Lego Embassy, you know, Lego Embassy. Like the U.S. Embassy in Europe, you know, it'd be the Lego Embassy in the U.S.
We need a Creo Embassy.
Is Creo even around still?
It's in China.
It's on life support.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before that goes away, and they finally license it out to Lego.
From my understanding, it's actually doing well in other countries. Just the retailers in the U.S. want to carry it.
Right. Well, anyway, you know, we're here to talk Transformers.
We are.
That's why we're called Transformers, for your listening pleasure. And there was a question posed today. Let me pull it up on the Facebook group here. I asked several hours ago, what do you want us to talk about on TFYLP? And there were several really good suggestions and a couple crappy ones. You know, namely, let's talk about female Transformers. It's like, okay, that's good topic if you want filler.
Okay, but, Don.
Yeah. It's like, well, let's just have Don on and let him talk about RC for an hour and a half and call it good. But no, I mean.
Can we just expect him to say that's the number one figure for our next week's show? Should we bet on this?
Yes.
Should we just bet on this?
I think a betting man would it'd be like betting on American Pharoah. You know, it's like
it's like an easy bet to win.
Yeah, but one of the questions or one of the suggestions was brought up by listener James Galtier. Says today for the first time I realized there's such a thing as a new fan, someone who may have jumped on to the fandom after Revenge of the Fallen, or any of the live-action movies, for that matter, or Armada, what have you. The topic should be what toy gems throughout the entire series of toys that you think every fan should experience. From G2 Laser Optimus, which is a great, great example.
The Scourge version.
I don't know. Laser Prime's pretty awesome.
No electronics.
It looks better in the black, though.
It does look great. It does.
You need the Japanese version, yeah. The Scourge.
That Don just tweeted. He says, that was one, not me, and two, you'll be surprised by my toy of the year, and it's not RC.
No, it's DX9 Carry.
Yeah, Don, you can't choose Carry. You can't choose Kronos.
Well, you can choose Kronos for worst figure of the year.
Yeah, Kaka toys of the year, yeah. But anyway, continue with James Galtier. He said G2 Laser Optimus or Beast Wars Neo Galvatron. Masterpiece Sideswipe, Armada Unicron. What are some figures from Generation 1 all the way to right now?
Let's go
through and say what?
Should we take it by generation? Like, hey, Generation 1, what are your go-to figures for that line for everyone to play with?
That is a good way to do that, and I think we'll get to that. But, you know, let's kind of preface this by defining what is a new fan. And if you're listening or watching to the show, you could be defined as a new fan. You know, were you a fan back in the day, back in the 80s or 90s? And then, like many of us, like me, I grew up, I got out of toys. You know, hey, boobs or toys? Boobs or toys? And I chose boobs.
Transformers and toy boobs.
If you wait long enough, the podcast
goes quiet.
Yes.
If you wait long enough, they will transform.
Yes. But I eventually came back. I came to my senses. I realized, hey, I can have boobs and toys. And I got back into toys back in the late 90s, early 2000s, toward the end of Beast Machines, or Beast Wars and beginning of Beast Machines. And I've been in the hobby ever since as an adult collector. So I think the best definition of what we're looking at right now, who we're talking to, are the fans that came on as adults, either coming back to the fandom or saw the live action movies and said, hey, that's awesome. I wouldn't mind having an action figure of Revenge of the Fallen Prime. I want that toy.
So are we at the point in our lives where we say, okay, if Beast Wars got you back into Transformers, you're an old fan already. Or if like the Unicron trilogy got you into Transformers, you're an old fan already.
I would make Evil Save a movie.
Yeah.
I would Evil Save a movie that breaking point. Somebody who didn't give a flip about Transformers before then would be a new fan.
Yeah.
Like my nephew, for example. He watched Beast Wars as a kid. I gave him some DVDs to my sister to let the kid there watch for a little. They watched it, but it was just another cartoon. They didn't really get into it. It wasn't until the 07 movie that he became a fan and started going out and buying toys. And that's primarily what he collects are movie toys. So to me, he would be a new fan because his knowledge of anything prior to the 07 movie is minimal. I mean, he's the kind of person, hey, I recommend getting this toy from this line because it was really good and that's something you missed because you weren't a fan at the time.
And I would say just because the movies got you into it, a new fan doesn't mean you necessarily just collect movie toys.
No.
It could be anything.
Well, yeah, he collects Combiner Wars. He loves Combiner Wars.
I think that's the whole point of this episode is if you're getting into collecting or you're kind of on again, off again, you look around and there's over 30 years of Transformers and 30 years worth of toys. There's so much out there. What's crap and what's not? You know, what? You know, do I want to go out and get an Armada Laserbeak or get it and go, oh, this thing's a disappointment? Or do I want to go get a Masterpiece Ultra Magnus and say, oh, wow, this thing's expensive, but it's awesome. There's also another new type of fan that's out there, but not necessarily the type that I would think actually listens to the show, although I'm sure there are some out there. And hello to you if you are. You're a young fan, and maybe the new RID figures or cartoon, you know, these guys.
The RID.
Yeah, the new RID. Maybe they're what got you into the fandom. Something caught your eye recently and is really alluring you to this hobby. And what keeps grown men in their 40s and like Don and Brett up into their 50s and 60s. what keeps grown men coming back and playing with toys and yes, Don, we will get to Fire Convoy and JRX. Yes. What keeps grown men coming back to these toys and wanting them and, you know, why do we spend large portions of our paycheck on toys that, you know, we might fiddle with a few times and put on a shelf? Well, they're a little bit more than that to us. The reasons are varied. We won't go into that because there's just so many reasons why people play. We've touched on them on previous episodes. Go back to our previous library on tftalk.net and check out previous episodes and see what we've talked about on that. If you're listening to us live or on pre-recorded, you can follow us on Twitter at TFYLP, and we're also watching the Facebook group for any questions that you may have while we're live. If you want to ask or comment on stuff, kind of watching on here, so you might get mentioned on air. We generally get a lot of good regulars on here, and we love hearing from you all the time. So as we go into this topic, feel free to tell us your thoughts, and who knows, it may even make us realize something we forgot about. But let's start with Generation 1. You're a new fan, and you want to go back to Generation 1, and you want to get let's limit ourselves to two or three figures from each line. And I'm sure we're not going to cover every single Transformer line because, you know, I don't know if we'll have time for that. We might. It all depends on what we get to. Rick, if you were talking to a new fan, he says, I want to go back and get a Generation 1, three Generation 1 toys that I just have to have. What were they? What are they, in your opinion?
I would tell my daughter that she needs to get a Fortress Maximus, of course. It's the biggest toy. It's fun to play with. It's a base for other toys. I can't tell you how many hours of my life I've wasted just playing with my mini bots and my MicroMasters all over Fort Max, and how awesome that was. Even my G.I. Joes would attack him. I used to play with Fortress Maximus as the Sulaco from Aliens, and my G.I. Joes were the Colonial Marines. And the little side door that opens up that goes to the elevator in Fort Max, that would be the drop hatch where the ship would come down, the drop ship, and they'd go down to the planet. So I think when you put your imagination to it, Fort Max is one of my favorite G1 toys. And I got to say, the original Optimus Prime. The original Optimus Prime is such a classic toy.
Iconic. It's the definitive character.
The story of the Transformers has really become, in the last few years, the story of Optimus Prime. And no matter what happens, no matter where we go in the canon, Optimus will always be a part of that. And that first Optimus Prime toy is, it's fun, it's a good size, and it is iconic.
That is what she said, too.
Can we do mentions, honorable mentions of figures to stay away from?
Well, you've only mentioned two of your three so far.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my third one to say, please stay away from, it's kind of a mix between Jump Starters or G1 Wheelie. I don't know.
Why does nobody like Wheelie? I love Wheelie.
As a kid, I liked the Wheelie toy. I didn't hate it. I liked the character in the cartoon.
Liked the fact that you could just like take the little canopy that goes over his face and kind of flip it half up, and he'd still have little bill, even though it was like oversized.
I always took him to test
for. In the toy bin, I could never find that little fin thing, that canopy. So I'd have to take all the toys out just so I can find that one part so I can play with my Wheelie.
I would always pop it off and turn it around and snap it back on backwards. That way it didn't stick out.
And that's what she said. But
and Jump Starters were fun to play with. As a kid, I loved my toys.
Sure.
Pull him back, you can zip across the table and...
Jump Starters were something I never had as a kid. I saw them on the shelf, and I'm like, they look neat, but if I didn't see them in the cartoon or the comic book, they really didn't have a whole lot of appeal to me.
Grandfather bought mine. Yeah, he knew about Transformers. He just picked one off the shelf. It was a gift from Grandpa.
If I got a non-show character, it was usually as a gift.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, especially for me, if there's story involved, be it comics or television, it elevates the toy to a new level. So for me, even though I do like Topspin and Twin Twist and Fall Last Stand of the Wreckers, it just those original toys, man, are just they just don't They're fit fine. In.
Twin Twist sucks. In.
Well, the thing is that. I'm sitting here playing with my toys on my desk right now as it is. And it's...
Who isn't?
Yeah. But...
I'm not going to tell you what I'm seeing right now. It's... Shame, shame. Poor shame.
Sodomy.
And I was doing some bad things with my laser beak.
But you know, I agree with you, Rick. Fort Max, definitely. Because, I mean, he's got the headmaster gimmick. You know, he's got smaller figures that come with the large figures.
Yeah.
Plus, he's the biggest one of them all. He's got the weight. And there's something can be said that whenever you're transforming the sucker, I mean, he doesn't just go click, 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 click. He goes ka-clunk, ka-clunk, ka-clunk. And it's just the every time I mess with that toy, if I get it out of my shelf, I know I look like this giant kid sitting there playing with my toy. It's just it brings the kid out in you.
I even turned the styrofoam packaging. I took the styrofoam packaging that Fort Max came into, and I used a pen. I went in, and I drew computer panels, and it became my Thundercat ship. And that was my cat's lair when I was a kid.
You know, Shockwave, his styrofoam insert was a spaceship for me too. I didn't draw in it, but I cut little holes out and like doors and everything. And yeah, it was children's imagination.
Yeah, I used to take all the styrofoam from toys, and they would all be like ships and bases and stuff.
I actually have a prime example of the sort of thing you guys are talking about. Not styrofoam. But I actually still have, and I don't know how it survived my house fire in '89. I have the card back for my original Grand Slam and Rain Dance, and it has my—I must have been kindergarten or first grade—in blue crayon, my crudely drawn Autobot symbols all over the stupid thing.
That's awesome.
But you know, and I also agree with you on Optimus Prime. The most iconic character in Transformers lore. If you can show a picture of Optimus Prime to anyone in the general public, and I would say 99% of the time they will identify that as Optimus.
It's a Megazord.
Yeah. It's kind of like Batman and Godzilla. You can go anywhere in the world and you show someone a Batman figure or a Godzilla figure, and they'll know what it's from. And it's kind of the same thing with Optimus Prime.
You know, and it is. I mean, you might be able to show a Bumblebee to a non-fan that is just out on the street, and they may say, oh, that's a Transformer. I don't know who it is. But Optimus Prime, he's the big red truck.
Oh, he's the truck?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not monkey. Truck, not monkey.
Iconically, he is a truck. I don't care what generation he's from. He's a truck, not a monkey.
That's right, because the monkey is technically Optimus Primal, a different character.
Yes.
Oh. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Even though
there's some design cues, and if you keep hearing a bump, it's my chair hitting the thing because I got to scoot over because of this plug here. But
they're cousins. That's why they're so similar. Yeah, kind of the same DNA, so they look similar.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that. But
you mean cyber CNA, cyber NA, cyber nucleic acid?
Yeah, yeah. My third pick of a Generation 1 toy that you must have is actually kind of a cheat. It's actually 6. And that would have to be Devastator. Another one that you could probably show. I don't think Devastator would rate as high as Optimus Prime up in the top 90 percentile of people recognizing that as Optimus Prime. Although I do think that a good 60 to 80% of this country could identify Devastator. May not be able to know him, but oh, those are the Green Construction Transformers. I know those guys.
Or it's Voltron.
The Megazord.
Well, if you're 1990s or newer, then yeah, you probably would say Megazord. But if you're older and if you grew up during the 80s, yeah, Megazords is not necessarily in your vocabulary as a go-to answer. I would venture to say, Greg, what would you say your top three Generation 1?
I don't disagree with your Fort Max. I have actually recommended him to my nephew, who is the new fan.
And you can get a reissue for a good price right now.
However, that's not in my top three. Because I'm thinking if it's a new fan and you want to get them, you know, suggest some G1. Okay, I am going to agree with you on the Optimus Prime just because of the iconicness that G1 Optimus Prime. As much as I love the Power Master version, and it's got a sentimental place in my heart, and I think it's a great toy to actually play with, it didn't make the top three either. I think for number two and three, I'm going to say Megatron, just because he's also iconic as the rival to Optimus Prime, and it's the only one that's ever a gun besides the classic one, which is kind of a Nerf gun. But if you're going to get a G1 toy, I think just for the fact of the iconicness of it turns into a freaking realistic gun, Megatron needs to be on that list. If you're an adult collector and you want a G1 toy, I think Megatron needs to be on that list. And the third one I would recommend, just because of the iconic play pattern, this is another one that general person on the street, they may not remember the name. They may call him like Sound Tape or Tape Deck Dude, but a Sound Wave. Just because the gimmick with the cassettes going in the chest. That was an iconic thing where you always launch those guys out. So, and it's a fun toy. So if you're recommending, if you're only going to get three G1s, you got your iconic Optimus Prime, the Megatron, who's a gun, and the Soundwave with the tapes out the chest. I think those would be my top three recommendations to a new
Well, fan. And, you know, the thing is that Soundwave, even among the fandom, Soundwave has his little cult following, you know, that former member of the show, Suede 66, he is a huge Soundwave nut. And I know
the tapes. You love tapes.
Yeah, and the tapes. There's people that collect nothing but tapes, and they go out and find these cheap knockoff tapes and customize them into new characters or obscure characters. And I'm like, wow, that is way too much tape love for me. But I do love the cassettes. I agree with you. Soundwave is a great, great pick. What about you, Jim?
Well, as far as Generation 1, I was in kind of an interesting position in that I was born in 83. And so a lot of the things I had were either from my older brother, who was a product of 77, or, just some of the older or the later releases like, Power Masters and all that. Plus, I wasn't necessarily from the richest family, so I didn't really have too much to go from. But some of the ones that really stand out for me, one would be like the Grand Slam, Rain Dance, Squawk Talk, Beast Box, the cassette combiners. In that they're just neat figures. You have a cassette tape, and it could turn into a monkey, a bird. A tank and a jet. You have the different weapon combinations because they can plug into one another. Not to mention they can combine into their own robot mode. So I mean they just have just the kind of the strange yet neat play value to them because of that. And it really I think helps with using the imagination in that they're so out of the ordinary from, your standard, Blue Streak or, Dirge or what have you. Squawk Talk and Beast Box were actually my very first Transformers that I bought as a kid from Kmart. Another one that comes to mind, even though you guys already mentioned the original 84 Optimus Prime, I actually have to go with the 1988 Power Master Optimus Prime. Because you have the trailer that turns into the base, you have the Nebulon Hi-Q that becomes the engine and can interact with the large gray cannons and kind of ride them like miniature vehicles. You have the Optimus Prime cab, which in robot mode is out of all Generation 1 the most cartoon accurate between Action Master and 84 and all that. Looks the closest to the cartoon. You have four huge guns. It was just a really neat figure. You have the large combined form, which was I think it towered over Devastator, didn't it?
I think so.
I think it was a little taller. Yeah.
I don't think it was quite as big as Predaking, but it was one of the larger G1 figures in its combined form. That in itself was just awesome. I mean, who doesn't love a huge robot?
And And you know what? It was also at a time where you really couldn't get Optimus Prime, but everyone knew him from reruns or from comic books. So that toy kind of like came out at the right time too.
Right. Just actually, it wasn't too long after Optimus had actually come back in the ending chapters of the G1 cartoon. You know, Return of Optimus Prime and the Rebirth. So I think that helped a lot with it too. I think the last one, honestly, would probably have to be, even though we just kind of knocked them a little bit, the Jumpstarters. They're simplistic in their transformation. They have crap for articulation, but you pull them back and they jump up and transform on their own, and they're just neat. I had a top spin as a kid, and it went down many flights of stairs. It went down a heat vent a couple times. A really old house with the holes in the grate were huge, so it actually went down the heat vent. But yeah, it was just a fun toy until it exploded into a million pieces. But that's beside the point. Jumpstarters are awesome.
Yes, Jumpstarters, really?
All right.
Well,
I was rough on my toys. I was really rough on my toys.
Nobody said Pretenders. Wow. That's another thinking joke right there.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and something to bring away from this is that we're kind of looking at it from price is no object type point of view, but we understand, you know, there are fans of all walks of life, so getting particular some of these toys is just not within the budget of some people. But if somebody's like, I've got to go back and get three Transformers from a particular line, what should I get? What do I need to save up and get?
Most of the ones we mentioned have been reissued.
Yes.
So there are lesser expensive options if you want to get a newer reissue. Yeah.
Except for the Jumpstarters, and you can probably get those for about $1 from Mega Toy Fan, one of our sponsors. Mega Toy Fan, you can maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. If you buy vintage toys from him, which he sells them at conventions, you know, like BotCon, TFCon.
Did we ever share the story on here about the SlaggerCon we were at where he had the whole bag of Jumpstarters? There'd be like 20 in there. He was going to send me the whole bag for like $4.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't take it because I was trying to chew him down to three.
Yeah. 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 And you just totally offended everyone who listens to our podcast that is Jewish. Thank you, asshole.
I said chew. I said chew, not Jew.
It didn't sound that way.
I said chew. I tried to chew him down.
I do apologize.
I said chew him down.
Yes. Anyway.
I thought he said chew him down, too.
I did say chew.
And I thought, I think you did.
I don't think that's a colloquial term, but. Hey, we'll leave it at that. But anyway, yeah, that is a great story. And check out Mega Toy Fan at your most popular conventions year round, where toys are known to be found. Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs. And we also have another sponsor. If you're into newer stuff or even third party stuff, and I'm sure we'll list a couple third party items here before we're done. You can find them at CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com, where you can save even more with the Captured Prey loyalty program. And also on orders of $150 or more, you can get free shipping. So check out CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Generation 2. You know, I'm surprised that Plasticon hasn't automatically popped on right now because we said those magic words. Generation and two.
Well, no, it's like Beetlejuice. You got to say it three times before he'll appear.
So all I need to say is G.
No.
Okay. One more time. Yeah, and I believe Jim has a bot there. Since you've got one held up, Jim, you want to tell us your top three picks from Generation Two?
Top three for Generation 2. Okay, we're in an area where I was closer to, like, you know, 10 and 12 years old and all. So I was a little more able to enjoy the toys during that period. Probably one of the best ones that I can think of right off the top of my head, I actually didn't get until I was quite a bit older, which is probably going to be the number one Generation 2 toy, for a lot of people, is the Laser Rod Optimus Prime. For its time, it was an exemplary figure. Articulation was just out of the ballpark, probably one of the best representations of Optimus Prime up to that point.
I've got to interject. The G2 Laser Prime, I would venture to say still today holds its allure. I mean, it has aged well.
Yeah, you say for its time, I think it's still a good toy.
It is still a great toy.
You could compare it to any toy. You could get Combiner Wars Leader Megatron, and I think Laser Prime, as far as like articulation and everything, is right there with it.
Yeah.
It's as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. And listener James Galtier, as we started out the show, he listed his G2 Laser Prime. And, that to me is number one on the list. Whenever I think of Generation 2, that is the quintessential G2 toy, in my opinion. There's another one. I'll get to it when I get to my list. But go on. Finish up.
Definitely a fantastic toy. Another one, which some of these figures tend not to, I guess, age too well due to, atmospheric conditions or temperature or what have you, play wear.
Crappy plastic.
But the Generation 2 color changers, talking about like Deluge and or some of the others.
Grinch.
Grinch.
GoBots. Not the Mighty GoBots, just GoBots. But I myself had Deluge, the F1 racer, as a kid, simply because, like an idiot, I was thinking it was Mirage. I didn't bother to look at the name or the fact it was a Decepticon, but it was still an outstanding figure. For its size and for that time period, it had a pretty complex transformation. I mean, you had to like flip the torso part with the shoulders around like 180 degrees and then rotate the upper torso. And I don't know how many times I had to start transforming it and start over because I forgot what I was doing. Of course, I was used to jump starters back then too. Had the weapons that came with it, they would either be like the spoiler or some other accessory that would attach to the car that would also be the gun. And it would have this little like hot pink plunger on the back of this yellow accessory that would hold the water. You could just fill it with water and you could squirt it at the other figures. There was a part, usually I think it was the chest mostly, that would actually change color depending on the temperature of the water that it came into contact with. And that would help. That I think, didn't it reveal the allegiance, the insignia, when you did that?
I think one or two of them did.
I think it did.
Is there any, if you had to pick any of the color changers, which one would you choose?
Well, Deluge, naturally, because that's the one I had as a kid. But I've had a couple others since then, so really that whole subline I think is pretty well stellar for what it is. And then lastly, I have to go with Generation 2 Devastator, that being different than G1 Devastator because there were several parts remolded, and it is yellow in coloration, so it looks more realistic than like lime green. I don't see too many lime green construction vehicles.
It was just the faces that were remolded, right?
No, I don't believe any of the faces were remolded, but the launching mechanisms were removed from the forearms for Devastator. As a result, the missiles were remolded to remove that little tab in the back. Mixmaster could no longer launch his missile. There were a couple other things, I think. I can't remember now, but that was actually one that my brother and I worked on getting completed as kids. He had the lower three, and I had the upper half. But it's just fun because you have the full set of six figures, you know, and yet you can combine them all into one large character. Of course, I guess you'd have that same play experience with pretty much any combiner, but out of G2, I honestly like it better than like Superion and Bruticus. Yeah. I don't know why.
Now, if I had to choose, I mean, now we've already said G2 Laser Prime. He's the number one for my, in my opinion. Number two is actually an older figure brought back in different colors, and this is a hallmark of Generation 2, those wild and crazy colors. But I've got to go with the Bruticus, the big battle in Bruticus. I've got to go with G2 Bruticus as a must-have from Generation 2. Those funky colors, the fruitopia of colors, that is G2 Bruticus. I just love that toy.
Of course.
And number three is a favorite of mine. I actually have three of them. I have the European version one. I have the U.S. version one, and both of those are carded. And I have one loose. That tells you how much I love this toy. And he's a tiny little guy, and you're like, that guy? Really? Yes. And it's simply because, you know, his name really jumped out to me. And I'm like, yeah, Windbreaker. You know, the Transformer that is named after a fart. You know, hey.
Or a light jacket.
In the tradition of Erector.
Yes. You know, in Europe he was called Zap. But here we called him Windbreaker. You know, we have a tendency to fart on things around here. So there you go.
I told you beans at the beginning of the show.
But yeah, Windbreaker. He's a neat little toy. He's a accelerator. Basically, the engine kind of pops out of the engine slot and becomes the gun for the robot. And he's got a nifty, neat little transformation. And, you know, I've got to go with any of the accelerators are kind of cool. But I think it's what's great about G2. You got the flashy colors. He's like a bright orange. Some of the other ones, there's a teal one. There's a jet black one. You know, and then you have Rapido, who is like a bright red.
And
he barely could peer over his hood. I mean, it's like you transform him correctly, and his head is just like he's like peering pervertly over his hood. Like
you know, he needs a chest reduction.
Yeah. I always thought there was something wrong with mine when I was a kid because
like, yeah, it's like
he can't look over his boobs.
It's like he was like peeping Tommy or something. He's like, I'm watching you.
Funny story. Yeah. Funny story about that. I had a Rapido as a kid. It was among my first G2 figures. And me and my childhood imagination, I always used to figure that his chest wasn't so much a chest as much as it was just like giant like binoculars. He was just looking out of his headlights. I don't know.
But the accelerators, they're a great little line. But me particularly, I suggest Windbreaker. Great name and great little toy. Those are my picks. What about you, Greg?
Well, I'm going to mirror you guys with number one being the Laser Prime. We've already talked about it enough, but that's my number one pick. Number two, I'm going to go with the Megatron, the big green tank, just because of the electronics. Yeah. He says Megatron rules. I got a big Megatron rules sticker on there. Because I like to think of it as like Megatron, being such the megalomaniac that he is, was all like, you know, I rule, and I'm going to make sure everybody knows it. So he got a big Megatron rules tattoo on his chest.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing with Generation 2 toys typically had it had the faction insignia, and then it said Decepticon or Autobot out from it sometimes. Yeah. And it's like, aren't these supposed to be robots in disguise? How can you advertise what you are?
Optimus Prime wore his name on his chest. Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
He had a picture of himself painted on his trailer.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's another great thing about G2 Laser Prime is what other toy are you going to see with Optimus Prime setting fire to a forest on the side of the trailer? You know, I mean, that if they ever do a new G2 Laser Prime with a trailer, he has to be setting fire to a forest on his trailer.
Better yet, they can just package him in with a forest and have you to set fire to it.
Yeah. So the pyromaniac Autobot.
Okay, so for my third choice, and this is predicated on the fact that I'm referencing this to the same recommending these to the same person, because if they didn't pick up the G1 version, if they wanted more than three and they got the G1, then I'd probably give them something else. But if they didn't, then for the third choice, I would say Grimlock.
Which color?
Take your pick.
The rare turquoise one.
Yeah, or the blue. The blue is fine. Or if you go with the gray, like the G1 colored version, right?
I like the unreleased Tiger Stripe one. That one was kind of pretty.
my reason for recommending it is just because the Dinobots are also iconic, and so you need a Dinobot toy of the original mold. And if we're only doing three from each line, since I didn't recommend it in G1, then get the G2 version. You can even get it in the G1 colors.
Well, kind of some foreshadowing and everything. There is going to be a Dinobot in my picks and everything, but I think that's going to be more toward when we start talking about Masterpiece.
Right.
But how about you, Rick? What about your top three G2 picks?
We've named a lot of great figures from G2, and the thing about G2 for me was I finally had a chance to own a bunch of toys that I always wanted as a kid but never had, like Jazz, Inferno, Sideswipe.
That's awesome.
Grimlock, yeah, Ramjet. There was a lot of toys in G2 that I never had as a kid. But there is one G2 toy that stands out to me as a moment in time where the brand started shifting to a new direction, and it's because of its ball joints and its new spring-loaded missiles and the new missile system it had, and that's the smoke screen Dreadwing. Two-pack. So you had two Transformers in one, which was awesome. It was like triple changer or quadruple changer. You had this smoke screen that turned into a little jet. You combine with the big guy, they'd become a bigger jet. Or the big guy would turn into a tank, and they had these brand new types of joints, which I never had before in a Transformer. And it was one of my favorite toys as a kid during G2 because I could pose the hell out of them.
Yeah, now that's a great thing about Generation 2 is that there was a lot of things that we take for granted as commonplace in today's modern Transformers that first appeared in a regular sense in Generation 2. Light piping eyes or weapons, you got ball joints, commonplace, late in G2. What were some other things? Well, general posability. You know, I mean, outside of, you know, stiff elbows and stiff legs. I mean, you act some Laser Prime. I mean, he had a full range. I mean, he couldn't look up and down, but aside from that, he was very, very posable.
He could look down, kind of. Have a weird neck.
If you angle the whole body down, but.
Well, the neck hinge is strange looking, but he could do it.
Yeah. That's cheating, but yeah. Did you list all three, Rick? I'm sorry.
Well, a lot of mine.
Got off on a tangent.
You know, Laser Prime. I love G2 color, so Bruticus is, you know, Swindle is one of my favorite G2 toys as a kid because it was the only one I had from that sub team.
Who doesn't love Swindle?
Megatron, the Green Tank Megatron. That was awesome. But you know what? Yeah, that Hero Megatron tank, the purple one, that's another classic.
Eggplant
one. Yeah, the eggplant for the Beast Wars colored one.
Yeah.
Because of the articulation, and it was Megatron. It was articulated.
Yeah, but he
Megatron to scale with another Optimus.
Yeah. Well, Headmaster Don, he's been shooting me some of his favorites, and he likes the Laser Prime, of course, and he also likes G2 Dreadwing, Smoke Jumper, and then you also have Hero Prime is one of his picks. And he is also a fan of the Rotor Force. Anything from the Rotor Force, apparently. So, yeah. So now we've dwelt on the first two generations of Transformers. Let's move on to Beast Wars. Let's kind of should we lump these together since it's kind of there's so many Transformers.
Should we each mention one Japanese character?
Let's go to one Japanese character from any generation.
Then we'll go
to Transformers. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought you said Macross there for a second. I'm like, no. Not Macross.
No. And Landcross.
I got you, but you know, I heard it. let's do Japanese characters, then we'll move on to Beast Wars. Rick, what about a Japanese character for you?
Victory Saber. Boom. Done. It's a giant toy. If you get the gift box, it's a giant box, which is awesome. You get these two huge guys that are like a puzzle that you have to put together. They don't really transform together. They just kind of stack things together. But it was a cool toy. It was big. And I was in my early 20s when I first got my first one. And that was a big moment because that was one of the first Japanese toys I'd ever gotten.
Yeah. I have to say my first Japanese toy that I ever owned that was truly a Japanese only. Well, I mean, I know he had a European release, but the Japanese only release I had was Overlord. And, you know, whenever I was in my early 20s and getting back into Transformers, and I'm discovering for the first time some of these Japanese characters, I'm like, wow, I never knew these existed. Like Japan had like this whole world of toys that we, you know, that were in addition to what we had. And it just blew my mind. But, you know, I'm kind of a closet Godzilla fan. I know there's other members of our cast like Michael Swift. He's a huge Godzilla fan. You know, I like Godzilla. I have a box set, you know, but I love Kaiju. And you can't get any more awesome, in my opinion, than the King Kaiju himself, Deathsaurus. I think he is visually amazing and beautiful. He may not be the most phenomenal posable toy of any generation, but the double breast master gimmick, the little lion and the eagle, and then he turns from this awesome looking robot, this menacing looking robot, into this gigantic kaiju monster with these big sweeping wings, these big curved sweeping wings, and he just, and that chrome head, and he, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the last generation one toys to actually be released with die-cast metal parts. Hmm. So that was an original release. So I'm going with Deathsaurus.
Okay. While those are all some great choices with Landcross, Deathsaurus, and Victory Saber, remember this list is about what we would recommend to a new fan, and those are all pretty cost prohibitive. And I think just to experience that weird era that kind of Transformers went through across the board. For a Japanese only, I would recommend the Beast Wars 2 Big Convoy. That way you get to experience a shell former, and it's one of the most awesome shell formers, and it's still, you know,
pretty, it's a very viable toy today.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's also not unreasonably expensive to get. You know, much easier than the other three recommendations. So partly for price, but also because, hey, everybody needs to experience that toy at least once. The frustration of trying to puzzle piece the elephant together around the foot of the robot.
You can get a Korean version of Big Convoy for around $60, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that expensive. So, yeah, I would go with Big Convoy as a good choice.
Yeah, that's my choice.
Well, even for that matter, if you want to really go cheap, there's some great small Japanese-only characters. Stampy. You know, you got Stampy.
Long Rack.
Yeah, Long Rack. Some of those guys. Pine Lad. I mean, Transformer that in his alt mode has a giant nutsack. You know, it's like yeah. So I mean, you can't get much more awesome than that. Ultra Mammoth is Headmaster Don says best name ever. What about you, Jim? If you were to pick out a Japanese only character or toy,
he says Landcross, didn't he?
I was going to say, Landcross. I had the vintage Mock Tackle just 2 years ago, but I also had the reissue from 2004 of the full Landcross set. And as far as Landcross goes, I mean, you could try to afford the vintage if you want, but the reissue is pretty well spot on where that's concerned. Very, very few changes, mostly switching from the stickers to painted on details being really the main changes. That and a little bit of a change of deco to the faces. But you've got six vehicles, and between the different configurations, you have the configurations in standard vehicle mode, the attack vehicle mode, individual robot modes, the different combinations of top half, bottom half combinations between.
Then they do like a Energon.
That actually predates Energon. That's what a yeah, lot of Energon Autobots were based on, was that style of combination, shirt and pants. And between those different. Overall, when you factor in all the possible variations and combinations, has 73 different alternate configurations. If you go by the little chart on the box, and that's including if you have a duplicate of like two waivers or two tackles, you know, 73 different possibilities out of six figures. That in itself, for no more than they cost, is definitely well worth it. Not to mention, according to the profile, they're like the Captain Planet of Transformers, I guess. I don't know. Who doesn't love Captain Planet?
He's a hero. He's going to take pollution down to zero.
I saw somebody point out on Facebook that if you notice that the kids in Captain Planet kind of coincide with, as far as like gender and race, with the kids on the Magic School Bus. So you said the kids on the Magic School Bus grew up to be the kids on
Captain
Planet.
I never watched that show, so.
They have to be the same kids.
But anyway, Beast Wars, I'd say the turning point in the Transformers franchise. I mean, Generation 2, we look back on it through rose-colored glasses, but let's be honest, it nearly killed the franchise toward the end. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of innovation, but, you know, the popularity of Transformers really started dipping down, and then came Beast Wars.
Well, I think it was less that G2 killed it so much as...
Well, I'm not saying that it killed it, but, I mean, it was...
It failed to revive it. I think it already died before
that. There were a lot of weird and varying different toys and things that it was trying to compete with, too. I mean, consider at that same time, there was a toy line that was called War Planets, and you had planets that did weird things. I mean, that's weird.
Well, I mean, I think the whole reason behind Generation 2 and the wacky, weird colors is just so they'd stand out on the toy aisle. Look how bright and colorful we are. You know,
right.
Kid walks down the aisle, and you're looking at a bunch of red and yellow. Or, I mean, red and browns and blacks and everything. Then you got these vibrant neon colors.
Green.
Leaping out at you with these and something that Transformers has always been known for is there's been years when the packaging has been less than stellar, but Transformers have almost always had fantastic package art and packaging, eye-catching packages, and G2 was not an exception.
We'll go back and watch Saved by the Bell. Those were the colors people were wearing in their clothes back then too.
So
it was the South Florida era.
Yeah, I live down there then.
I lived in Miami during G2, so it was just like, these are the Transformers of Miami.
I was 80 miles away from you in the Everglades, so small world.
So Beast Wars.
Yeah, Beast Wars. Well, since you brought it up, you go first.
Oh, wow. I hadn't really had time to think about it. Okay.
No, you brought it up.
Well, I'm going to recommend, because it's my – well, I'll just say going back, you brought it up and then I distracted us.
Yes.
I would have to say my favorite Beast Wars toy, which I would recommend, Optimal Optimus as the number one. I mean, for me, it was because he went back to being the most mechanical, because I was still kind of that truck, not monkey mindset. But it is just legitimately a good toy. He's a quadruple changer. He has a jet mode, an armored tank mode, a robot mode, and a monkey mode. So there's a lot of play value with that toy, especially like the way you like the little gimmick in the back. You pull on the back, and the lights will come on, which shine up through, make his eyes glow, and you pull a little further than the missiles launch. Because it's really easy, if you didn't know there were two stages to that, to like try to look in his eyes and shoot yourself in the face. So that was a fun toy. Number for the second one. You can tell I'm not really a huge fan of Beast Wars. I mean, I like the show good, and I had all the toys at one point.
Shame on you.
I have to say the next toy that I had the most fun playing with would have to be the original Optimus Primal mold with the black monkey. Even though the transformation was relatively simple, I mean, the legs stayed the legs, the arms stayed the arms. It was just a lot of fun to transform back and forth, and it was surprisingly the visuals changed quite a bit from one mode to the other.
You wouldn't think it would, no. Just basically flipping a monkey upside down.
Well, it didn't flip him upside down. The legs stayed the legs. I mean, watching the cartoon, he did so little movement, you're like, oh, that's not even hardly a Transformer. But then you get the actual toy, and you start flipping all these panels and bits and moving things, and it was pretty impressive in hand.
Well, Optimus Minor was definitely, you flip the monkey upside down, there you got a robot.
Yeah, that was. Well, that's what he was, Optimus Primal for Beast Machines was like that, too, he upside down. So that would be my second pick is the first Optimus Primal. And for the third toy, I would say the original purple Megatron. Because it's iconic and just with the T-Rex head on his hand. If I'm not mistaken, he had the water squirt feature in the tongue, too. Yes. So you can squirt water out of his mouth.
Absolutely.
So those are my three picks for Beast Wars.
Well, I'm a huge Beast Wars fan. It's still today my favorite Transformers TV show of all time. I've got the Predacon symbol tattooed on me. If I had to say, hey, there's three Beast Wars figures you have to own, to me, Cheetor, Deluxe Cheetor was always a favorite of mine. He had the water squirting action as well. You took the gun from the bottom of him.
It had guts
molded onto it. Transmetal Tarantulas. That was the first Transmetal I had seen. It completely blew my mind that Beast Wars had gone from being an organic type of Transformer to now they're going back to like being like cars again. There's chrome on it. How cool is that? And keeping in line with Transmetal's Transmetal Rat Trap. Rat Trap's one of the greatest characters in Transformers history. And that was one of the greatest toys. I just wish the toy would have looked a little bit more like the show where the wheels just kind of flip up to his back. But
that was one of the
rat train. Yes.
That was one of the first toys I bought as an adult. I wasn't really a collector yet, but when I got back into Transformers, I was watching the cartoons with my daughter in the evening because my wife worked second shift. And the Beast Wars cartoon just came on. We were watching Fox. And so I was watching, I was really digging it, and I was like, I had to go buy a toy for my daughter. And it was we went to the Walmart, and that was the first thing we got was the Transmetal Rat Trap.
Jim, what about you? What about your three?
Well, out of Beast Wars, I would have to say number one would be one of the first Beast Wars figures from 96, Polar Claw. It was just an outstanding figure. Amazing articulation.
I actually have one.
Yes, one of my favorites. It was one of them that had the alternate mutant head. You just kind of flip it around. Some of them, had it flip around the head or have a mask over the face or what have you. But this one actually had two different heads. You just flip the inner torso around, if I recall. Or no. You rotate the head. I think that's what it was. Anyway.
Yeah, it was just the back of the head.
Yeah, I was thinking of someone else. But you had the fact that it was a huge freaking polar bear. Who doesn't love that? Had the launching bone claw out of the one arm, and the other arm could launch off and become a bat. So that was a fun gimmick unto itself. But in the robot mode, you just had decent posability. It was a huge figure. I mean, perspective on a monitor, but the thing was like that pretty big. It's pretty good size. Once you have that bat launched off, that the remains of the arm could be over the shoulder, kind of like a shoulder cannon of sorts. And it was just an outstanding figure. I would say probably one of the best from the original Beast Wars line. Another one. Goodness, Dinobot is an easy favorite. Not too crazy about the fact that the shins and feet end up as the belly of the Raptor, but overall, I thought it was a really decent figure, decent transformation. And who doesn't love spinning blades out of a tail? I mean, that was just a cool gimmick. You had a sword hidden inside. Plus, the character was just stellar. Trying to think of a good third one. Goodness, I'm probably gonna have to go with Waspinator, simply because it's Waspinator. You cannot have Beast Wars anything, and not have Waspinator involved in some way.
Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That's random.
I swear I didn't do it.
Are you getting a fax?
No. No, my printer just came to life all of a sudden. I don't know why.
We're not fun.
I sent him a telegraph.
Mm. But, you know, if I had to choose, you know, I totally agree with the Optimus Primal and the Megatron T-Rex, but I'm going to choose those three, but I'm going to leave those as already suggested. I'm going to choose three that are totally have not been mentioned yet. Number one, simply for the gimmick, it was a fiddle former. Like, you know, something that you just pick up and everything. And it's this gimmick right here. Flip changing. I'm going to go with Terrorsaur. Terrorsaur was a great little toy. Whenever the recent Walmart 2-pack came out with the Strafe and everything, they repainted Terrorsaur as Strafe. And I'm like, I got to get that just simply for the mold.
I was amazed that mold was still around and still viable.
Well, a lot of the Beast Wars molds are still around and viable.
Fantastic.
The only two that I was aware of while I worked at Hasbro that weren't available was Leo Convoy and Beast Wars 2 Galvatron, only because they were misplaced. They were lost.
Wow.
Misplaced.
Now, I'm going to go with Terrorsaur. My second one, also because he was just so cool. Whenever I finally got one, I'm like, this guy, he's a little fiddly, but but I really, really like him. And that is Fusor Quick Strike. I like Quick Strike. You know, the snake head on the tail. And I loved his character on the show. You know, he was great. And thirdly, I would have to go with Beast Wars Scorponok. Great toy, yeah, with the big clamper hands and
the
bee.
Well, the one which came off as it made a bee, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The antithesis to Polar Claw.
Yeah. Really, really great toy. Now, Headmaster Don is throwing in his two cents, and he's saying Optimus Primal, Transmetal Optimus Primal. He's also saying Tiger Hawk. Great toy, enormous toy too. I was shocked whenever I first got my Tiger Hawk back in the day. Whenever I had one, I was amazed how big the toy was. And also Silverbolt is an unusual choice, but yeah,
Bird Dog.
Yep. So Silverbolt, Beast Machines. Rick, what about yours?
Wow, Beast Machines is one of those eras where you look back on the show and it's like, well, now that I've seen Armada and Energon and Cybertron, that show was all right. The toys still, yeah. There's a few toys out there that are gems. But for me, most of them kind of fall flat. I think this is going to be a tough one. I think I'm going to be able to pick one toy, and it's not Nightscream.
It's because he has a poo hanging from his face, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do two basics here. I'm gonna throw the basic tank drone out there as a great toy. It's fun to fiddle with, and because he needs a buddy, your basic thrust, your cycle drone. I'm a troop builder, so I've got tons of these guys.
Rest.
Just sitting around. So I think those are great fun toys to play with.
You know, in the interest of time, for the remainder of the series that we're going to talk about, let's just pick one toy because we've already spent almost an hour and a half on just four generations. So, but go ahead, Rick.
Okay, no, Jim, tagging you in.
Well, right off the bat, you stole my tank drone. That was actually my first Beast Machines figure, and honestly, probably my favorite Beast Machines figure. It was just a really cool looking figure. I mean, just even though the
the tank ore or tank drone head was out in tank mode, it was done in such a way it didn't distract away from the tank. And because of the shape, the weird shape of it, you kind of forgot that it was a head. It just kind of blended in with the rest of the tank. It was just really neat. It had the claw hands, the cannon that would kind of rotate as the wheels turned. I mean, it was just fun. Really neat looking. I wish we would have gotten that tank drone in a larger scale, as opposed to the large tank or toy that we ended up with.
It'd be great to see a Combiner's Wars Beast Machines kit where it's Megatron in the middle, and then you get your tank drone, your jet drone, your cycle drone, Obsidian, and maybe Strike is in the middle, and you have your Viacon Combiner Wars figure.
That would be pretty awesome. What about you?
You could have Jetstorm as the gun then.
What's your pick for Beast Machines?
Or the boots?
Well, I would say for the Beast Machines, I'm going to go ahead and say like the three like we started out with, because I would say all three of the Viacons, but the larger size. The deluxe size Thrust, the Voyager size Tank Ore, and I guess it was a deluxe size Jetstorm. Because I just think the Viacons were the best thing in that line. While I like the Tank Drone, to me, if I was recommending to a new fan, that's kind of underwhelming. It's very simple. If you have no connection to the show because you're a new fan, you just want to experience the toy, it's just going to be this little simplistic. It's like, what's so great about this? Whereas with Tank Ore, it's a little more involved, the transformation going back and forth, the same way with the other two. I think a new fan is going to get a little more better idea of what Beast Machines is about from the full-size versions of those characters.
Yeah. Now, my pick, and this pick is has got a caveat. And if you are a new fan and you're going to go back and you're going to find one of these, finding one with good paint is a good is really, really hard. But to me, it was my very first Beast Machines toy, and it really got me excited because I really enjoyed the futuristic look of it, and I am always a sucker for vacuum metalized paint, how good it looks. I just wish that it was better on this particular toy. But I'm going to go with Ultra Jetstorm. It was a phenomenal looking toy, great posability, and if you transformed it with the legs collapsed together, it had some decent show accuracy to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Ultra Jetstorm. I really like that toy and everything. Now, for the Unicron trilogy, Armada, sure. Energon, and Cybertron.
Real quick, I just happened to think of one since I kind of took the cheap way out and mentioned Tank Drone again after it was already mentioned. I thought of probably one of my favorites aside from that would be Hammer Strike.
Good one.
One of the lesser known Beast Machines figures.
From Battle for the Spark, yeah.
Yes, it's one of the lesser known ones, but it is just an insane and sick looking figure. It is so fun.
Phenomenal toy.
So yeah,
I have not skipped RID, but I'm going back to that here in a moment. But I'm kind of lumping the Unicron trilogy. All in one. Let's pick one toy from the Unicron trilogy. Jim, what would you pick from the Unicron trilogy?
I'll tell you, as much as I love Energon Prime and Wingsaber and all them, I'm going with Energon Ironhide. The little head sticking out in car mode might be a little ridiculous, and the weird speaker in the back, and all, I can get past that. But
where is the kick button here?
But ultimately,
Jim, you're
Well, keeping the gimmick in mind, you know, the combination of power lancing or whatever you call it, it makes an impressive lower torso and legs combination. And in robot mode, it honestly doesn't look all that bad. You've got the kind of the doors for the shoulders, and you know it's just. He has a little bit of a goofy face, but overall, it's a decent figure. But I was always want to parallax and combine the figures together.
Jim, shut up.
All right, so
if you're gonna get an Energon figure to combine,
just stop.
All right, so I think the Unicron trilogy can be summed up with one character, Unicron. Mm-hmm. Of course, Unicron, the biggest, baddest Transformers villain of them all. You can put a bunch of mini cons on him. He's huge. He lights up. He's got the Right Hand of Doom. Unicron, easy. You want to know what Armada is about and those two spinoff shows? Got to get Unicron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My pick would have to be Cybertron, a.k.a. Galaxy Force, Optimus Prime, that fire truck with the – he almost had a Gajin Rai look to him with the wings and stuff, but he just was so majestic to me. And actually, in my opinion, and I might catch some flack from this, but out of all the Optimus Prime toys throughout all the years, I'd say he's easily in the top 10 or top 5 of my favorite Optimus Prime toys of all time. And that is saying a lot from that era. You know, I really, really dig that Optimus Prime. I could do without Energon Prime, and I really could do without Super Pants, super shitty Optimus, super base Optimus Prime. I hated that auto transforming trailer. I wanted to throw it against the wall for the moment the first Man. Gear got out. Yeah, yeah. Even Headmaster Dawn's in it. Energon Ironhide? Question mark? Question mark? Question mark? Question mark? Yes, Jim. Yeah, one more time, Jim. Be quiet. Just stop.
That's funny. I just sold my Lucky Draw Galaxy Force Convoy today, right before the show started.
Nice.
It was on eBay. You could have bid.
No money.
I remember when the prototype for that Galaxy Force Cybertron Convoy Optimus first came out, and how the fandom was completely flipping their crap over the faceplate gimmick, and how it just kind of flipped up from underneath the jaw there. That was insane.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I was going to say Unicron, but Rick already took that answer, so I'm going to use the opportunity to go with another one. So I've been sitting here running the toys through my head, just whatever pops in. Like, I really like the Armada Scavenger. I know I'll catch flack for that, but I like the stomping gimmick.
He likes it when it pops. He likes it when it just pops in.
Well, I like the stomping gimmick that he does with his feet. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people hate that one. And then I was thinking about the Armada Bendy Prime, what a great toy that was, which is a good one. But I got to say, in all honesty, if I want to recommend one, next, besides Unicron, it would be the Armada Starscream. It's a big, chunky toy, but it's a lot of fun. You get to experience your Minicon gimmick, and I think it's one of the better-looking ones in both modes. Of course, you have your repaints of Thundercracker and Skywarp to choose from if you want to vary up the colors.
I really dig the Ramjet with that funky fin on its head.
Well, that was Skywarp.
Yeah,
the Toys R Us did the repaint of Skywarp. Yeah. It's Ramjet, didn't they? Yeah. He was white and blue. But Starscream would be my pick for that line.
But, okay, what about Robots in Disguise? I know what a lot of people are going to say for the first one, but you guys, I'm going to leave that one to you guys because I think my pick is probably a little bit different than some of you guys. Rick, what about R.I.D.?
Optimus.
Your top.
Optimus, yes. Rid. Yep.
Fire Convoy. Absolutely phenomenal toy. A bit of a parts formery, but just, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't he also say Maximize, too?
He does.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's still a great figure. Posability, features-wise, it's a great toy.
Yeah. Great toy. What about you, Greg? I kind of have an idea of which one you're going to go
can
with.
Can I cheat and just say Omega Prime? That way you get Prime and Magnus both.
Fair enough.
Because I think, Optimus is a great toy. If I could only pick one, I would say Ultra Magnus just because I kind of prefer that. I know it's got the big long shins. People don't like it. But
I
prefer the truck over the tractor trailer over the fire truck. So I've always liked Magnus a little better than Prime. But, I mean, really, those two toys are made to go together. And it is one character, one figure when it's all combined.
Absolutely.
So I would say Omega Prime, though, you get the full experience.
Mm. And my pick, I would have to go with Rail Racer, Team Bullet Train. I think that is one of the most quintessential combiner toys, if you're talking about relevancy to today, one of the most quintessential combiner toys and revolutionary, in my opinion, because it took three guys and put them together into one. I mean, yeah, I know we had Road Seizure, but... It did it so well, and the mass shifting aesthetic of it. I mean, you got these small trains that were roughly, what, 7 inches long? But, you know, about four. Never mind.
Somebody comes in the last second and hitches this part. What's he describing?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, rather phallic looking vehicle modes, but they are really accurate for what they are. They're really good looking toys, and then they become these really decently sized robots, and then even bigger as a combined form. And I like how they like expand in places that they need to expand.
They're phallic. They expand.
I'm just going to stop.
There's stuff you said.
Hey, well, and one of them even lights up.
I'm just going to stop and say my pick is Rail Racer. Thank you. Jim, you're our ID pick.
While I completely concur with you on Rail Racer, just exceptional, well-designed, amazing figures. My pick is honestly going to have to be the build team, Wedge, Grimlock, Hightower, and Heavy Load that form Landfill. Simply because not only do you have a strong, strong G1 feel to them, the kind of the blocky robot modes and weapons and everything, they feel like G1 figures. It was outstanding. But the method in which they combine was unprecedented compared to anything else, like the Scramble City style or any of that, was that you had Grimlock, Hightower, and Heavy Load, and they would have these beams or whatever you call them that just come out from their vehicle modes or what have you and connect in kind of a three-way combination, and then Wedge would snap in the middle and lock down and form the base of the torso and head. And you could rotate the odd three that form the limbs to where any of the three could be either one leg or both arms. And it was just amazing in the way they were able to pull that off so well. It was really, really fun figures.
Now, I'm assuming this entire caveat revolves around the fact that we're not picking Scourge because we picked that mold as G2 Laser Prime, right?
Yeah.
We ruled it out because it doesn't have electronics. It sucks.
Oh, I think it looks better, though, in those colors. That would have been my choice, except I already recommended that toy in different color scheme.
But it doesn't light up.
Okay. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Now, okay, post-Unicron trilogy and everything, there's a lot more. We've got animated. We've got Prime. We've got the new red. We got Universe. We got Generations. We could go on for another two more hours.
Most of your new fans, though, that's going to be around the time they came in because the movies what brought in a lot of your new
exactly.
fans.
Exactly. But let's go back and say, let's say they're just collecting from the particular lines, like the movie guys are collecting movie toys. The new red kids are collecting red toys. And they want to venture out. Let's pick one toy from any line let's say from Universe 2.0 and Classics all the way to right now, that one toy that they may not have, what would you choose?
Well, you got to start with me. I need to think about it. Okay. If I just got an answer, go first.
Rick, you go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think the definitive toy of the movie verse is that Leader Class Optimus Prime that you really need to look at the instructions to figure out how to transform if you haven't done it in a while.
Which?
That's the Revenge of the Fallen Leader Optimus Prime.
Okay.
It's a great figure. It's a great representation of how the character looks in the film when you make it into a toy. Great features, super great articulation, lots of detail, especially if you have some of the Japanese repaints of it. It's just incredibly difficult to transform if you haven't transformed it in a while. And it also combines with Jetfire, too. I think that is one of the... Out of all the movie toys out there, I think that's probably the definitive movie toy. I think people need that experience.
If you want the ultimate version of it, in my opinion, Buster Prime.
It is the Chrome.
Yeah. Buster Prime, the Japanese version. Yep. It's essentially the same toy, but it's got Chrome in the Chrome places, in the places it needs to have Chrome.
Yeah,
and but if you fear Chrome,
weapons, right?
Yeah, I believe it does.
Yeah, the fuel tank guns.
Yeah.
What about you,
Jim?
Well, not to crap in your oatmeal or anything, but honestly, as far as that leader class, Optimus, I liked it, but I thought it suffered a bit because it, needed to, combine with Jetfire, and it also had the electronics, which I thought took away from what it could do as far as posability and things. I thought a better representation of that was a slightly smaller scale, the Battle Blades Optimus Prime. Or was it Hooks? Battle Hooks Optimus? Anyway.
Battle Blades.
It was like Reveal a Shield or one of them offlines. It wasn't quite Revenge of the Fallen. But it was essentially the same toy, almost identical. Only it was a Voyager class, and it fit better, I thought, into scale with a lot of the deluxes and basics that were out in that same line, or in Revenge of the Fallen and whatnot. And I thought it looked better overall, in my honest opinion. And it went really extremely well alongside the Battle Blades Bumblebee. That came out in that same line. There was a deluxe. You had a deluxe car, and it turned into a Voyager robot. I mean, who doesn't love that?
And it also had a Matrix with it, too, right?
It did. Yeah. It did.
That's a pretty good toy.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Well, and didn't it also have the little Peter Cullen in it, too?
No, that was the
Voyager. That was movie one. That was 2007.
Okay.
Which I forgot about that. That was cool.
If I had to pick one, wow.
Well, if you're grouping everything together, I'm just going to rack in my brain trying to think, what's the best classics toy that I would recommend over any movie toy? Because when you first called on me, I was thinking Leader Prime, but I'm like, if we're grouping everything together, all series, there's got to be something I could recommend over a movie toy.
There is one thing that I'm thinking, and you don't get much better than this. Masterpiece MP10 Optimus Prime. That is one of the most beautiful Optimus Primes I have ever seen. It's proportioned right. It just works. And, there's other great masterpieces I could easily suggest. I mean, Ultra Magnus is great. Matter of fact, I can't say that there is a sucky masterpiece right now.
I can name two sucky masterpieces.
Ravage?
Of the modern era.
Okay, I was like Rodimus and the Ravage? Green Starscream.
Ravage is not crap. I love Ravage.
Yeah, I like Ravage.
It's almost like the masterpiece should really be their own thing, because it's a very different market than everything else post movie. It's something that ideally would appeal to the general populace of the Transformers collectors, regardless of age or whenever you came in to the fandom. We should consider that its own thing.
Not to split hairs or pick nits, but it actually started about 3 years prior to the movie in 2004.
That's the original masterpiece. I'm talking about modern.
It's still masterpiece.
That's why I chose MP10.
Because the other ones that were before the movie, you had like the MP01, which MP10 is better. The MP3, of course, MP2 was just a repaint. MP3 was the Starscream, the green one. They had problems with brittle plastic. Then you had the Megatron, which was just a fiddly mess. And you didn't really get any good masterpieces to a Grimlock.
Mm-hmm. But non-masterpiece, let's say if I picked a non-masterpiece toy.
Tough one.
That is really tough.
When you group everything together. Like, I could recommend a movie toy. I could recommend a classics toy. It's just, all of it together, it's hard to pick one.
Hmm.
I think I know what I'll go with, though.
You know you like Revenge of the Fallen Mixmaster.
No.
If you need time to think, I can go
back. Yeah, go ahead. I need time to think.
Well, I look back at all the classics toys. Masterpieces made me lose interest in classics. That's why I'm having such a hard time picking one where I would have before, because that was like my definitive, like, updated G1 characters. I got to say, though, what has stuck with me, though, is the movies have grown on me. I mean, yeah, they're kind of – they got their problems, but as far as just a nostalgic point, I remember being really excited about the first movie. So the movies, to me, are a higher point calling back than what the classics was, because classics has been replaced by masterpiece in my collection. You know, I want the – it was updated G1 characters. Masterpiece is doing it better. So Besides the Leader Optimus you've already mentioned, Rick, I would have to say my next favorite one that I would recommend is the concept Camaro Bumblebee from the 07 movie. I really like the way that toy, it was complex for the time, but not as complex as things got in Revenge of the Fallen. I like the automorph thing where when you move one part, another part moves in the legs. And it does a better job of breaking the car bits up over the robot mode than any other version of movie Bumblebee. The head sculpt isn't perfect, but I think just from the neck down, though, the toy is better than the version that came later. Just in the aesthetic, the look, and the ease and fun of transformation. Like, I know a lot of people like the Battle Blades version, but it's tall, lanky. He's got way too much car hood on his chest and shoulders. It doesn't break up enough. And it's more complicated and fiddly to try to get into both modes. I think the old 07 concept one just transforms smoother and just a more pleasant experience to mess with.
I think I have mine. And
can I try and guess what it is? Is it Generations Devastator?
No, actually it's not.
Universe Galvatron.
That's the crappy.
Where exactly is the kick button on Google Plus Hangouts here? No, boot button. Square in the ass is where you need it. Right
says
over
the guy with the rail team.
Yeah. Right over top of Insane Galvatron's head right now, I'm going to go with that guy, Generations Metroplex. Something that absolutely took my breath away the moment I saw it. Metroplex is another one of those G1 characters that has a special place in my heart. I remember the day I got my original Metroplex. And so Metroplex is a special warm place in my heart. And to see something that detailed and that big is I had to have it. And it's one of those that if I have to sell my entire collection or sell things off, I would have a hard time parting with it. It would be one of the last to go. It really would.
If we're making recommendations to new collectors, anything too, because that's why I didn't recommend any Combiner Wars stuff. I love Combiner Wars, but a new collector, that's the current thing they're going to be aware of.
Yeah, well, but Generations Metroplex is a couple
years
ago.
Yeah, they're a brand new collector. That'd be something new to them.
But that would be my pick. Anything post-universe and everything, and if I couldn't pick a masterpiece, I'd go with Generations Metroplex. Now, that's not to say that there's not some other good choices out there.
Which is, incidentally, the closest thing we'll probably ever get to a Masterpiece Metroplex. Mm. So you're still kind of picking a Masterpiece.
Yeah. Yeah, I cheated.
Well, there's that. There's the, is it Make Toys? Utopia?
Yeah.
That's a really nice Metroplex.
Well, I thought we were sticking to official for this.
Oh, well. No, I'm just saying that's a really nice toy. That's all I'm saying.
We can pick a third-party toy if you want. But let's hear Jim and Rick's post Unicron trilogy picks, and then we'll pick a third party and we'll wrap.
Didn't they already pick Revenge of the Fallen Prime?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Rick.
Yeah,
did.
That's right. Okay. My bad.
We had the Battle Blades Prime.
He
picked the Voyager version.
Yeah, Voyager Hooks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hooks was the battle damage.
I'm getting old and senile. Okay, so I missed that. All right, let's pick a third party. Let's pick a third-party toy. Rick, go.
Dystopia. It's, I think, the closest we'll ever get to a Metro Titan. And it's a heavy figure. It's a bulky figure. It's expensive. But if you want to really understand what a third-party Transformer is and just how crazy detailed engineering... how crazily engineered these things can be, I think Utopia, Dystopia, those are the figures you should probably play with.
What about you, Jim?
I have.
If you have
no idea,
I know you don't have
third parties.
I know you don't have anything, but anything that if money were no object and you're like, okay, I'm going to go grab a third party toy.
What comes to mind, but I do not recall the name of the thing. I saw it inboxed at the final SlagerCon there in 2013.
It was based on the War for Cybertron Omega Supreme. I can't remember what the freak it was called.
Genesis.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. The Phil Collins thing. That was just an amazing looking figure.
But it made you think twice.
Yes.
Difficult to stand up, but it's a great toy.
Well, with those legs, it can't dance.
That was my biggest gripe against that toy. It looked great, but at the same time, it had this big, beefy upper body and then these little bitty dinky legs. Yeah. It's like, what?
Skip leg day.
Yeah. It's like they spent all their time designing the upper part of the body, and they're like, oh, crap, we need to hurry up and finish. Yeah, but what about
you? A couple legs on it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not picking
it's this. The Joe Swanson of transforming robots.
I thought that was Generation Sandstorm because he's got the wheelchair mode.
So they pin the legs on him like pinning the tail on Eeyore.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of an afterthought.
No, on a related Joe Swanson note, he's the Tick of transforming robots. Really, really big upper body, little bitty body.
Yeah. That's a really big spoon.
Yeah. Spoon! Great.
Okay, my pick.
Yeah, your pick.
It's not going to blow you away with the transformation. I think it's got two different modes. One that's supposed to be the official, and the other was just kind of a bonus mode. I think the bonus mode is better. But the transformation isn't the strongest. It's just the overall build quality, just how impressive this figure is in hand. If I could only recommend one third party, it would be the Fans Project. Not Fans Project. Perfect Effect Warden. I mean, just if you ever held Warden in, I mean, just looking at pictures online don't do it justice. You got to get this thing in hand. Just the quality of this thing.
It's got rubber treads.
It's got the rubber treads that move. It's heavy. It's thick. It's robust. The joints are. I mean, it's a fantastic. I've never official even official Masterpiece toys don't feel like they have the quality that Warden has. Just as an action figure. Like I said, his he turns into the head to attach to a G1 Fort Max. And that's the more involved transformation of what he does. But it's not really very useful if you don't have a Fort Max sticking on. And even if you do, the aesthetic doesn't really fit.
And if you don't have one, go with Toy World Infinitor.
Yeah. He's also got the tank mode, but the tank mode's kind of parts formery, and he pretty much just kind of folds up, and you attach, take stuff off, and I fold him up and reattach it. So like I said, it's not a real good transformation of the tank mode, but the mode is good. And just as an action figure, if you never try to be, he's got so much articulation. He's even got like an ab crunch. And the way it works, it's not like a lot of toys where there's an obvious seam there where you can tell it's for ab crunching. So when he's standing straight up, he's got like a big, looks like he's been hit with a knife. The way they work everything in, he's got the ab crunch, but when he's just standing up straight, you can't tell there's an ab crunch there. It's just phenomenal engineering just on as an action figure. I can't recommend that one enough. Mm. I know that's kind of old news at this point. It was a big thing a few years ago. Everybody's kind of moved on, but I'm still blown away by that figure.
You know, one of the things about that figure is, for me, I'm anything third party that's based off IDW, I have to have. So that is like the perfect, like one of the most perfect representations, besides the current DJD guys coming out, of an IDW character.
Yeah, like Senecas and those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
My pick. For and there are so many great third-party toys out there. It's hard for me to pick just one, but it's a recent pickup for me. And I still, I mean, the weight of this toy, the size, the detail, it's so much chrome. It's so pretty. And the G1 accuracy, I'm going with Fans Toys Soar, the not Masterpiece Swoop. Just absolutely amazing, amazing toy. And for, you know, Fans Toys has been knocked for some of their QC issues. But to that, I say what company has it? I mean, Hasbro and Takara have the same, thing. I mean, you can get crap from official, lines, you know, but, overall the engineering, it's just a great, great toy. Love it. Last week, I was listening to the podcast at work the other night, and last week it was asked around the board who everybody's favorite third party was. I am, without shame, a Fans Toys fanboy. I love Fans Toys. I love Maki Toy. I love Toy World. Those are my top three right there. But Fans Toys, if you're going for the masterpiece aesthetic, they nail it with Prejudice. I mean, there is like nobody that gets it better than them. And I would dare say they do it at times better than Takara does, with some of the detail and the complexity and just the overall feel of these toys. To me, they feel more masterpiece than actual masterpieces. And that's saying something. There's a lot of people, and one of them sitting right here, they balk at the $200 price of some of those masterpiece, or of some of those Fans Toys dinos. But to me, I mean, it's like, now that I actually have a couple, I have Scoria, I have Soar, and I've handled Sever, the Snarl. Scoria is a slag, for those who don't know. But I've handled those three, and all of those three they are just amazing toys.
And I don't balk at the price. I think they probably are worth the $200. I mean, I've paid that for like the reissue Starscream. For me, it's just the fact that I could buy just Starscream, and it's $200. But I know if I start down that road with the Dinobots, I'm going to get all four, and then I'm going to need the Grimlock that scales with them. And I'm looking at, that's $1,000 just for Dinobots.
You have foot pads. But seriously though,
but they are awesome. If I had $1,000 and money was no object, I might pick
them. I'm a Dinobots fanboy, and if I'm going to have it's if we get official masterpiece Dinobots, which I seriously doubt, but if we do,
we will.
It's down the road. It's way down the road, and these things, the quality, there's so much diecast on them, and they are just beautiful toys. They are worth it. And I was actually with you. I mean, you know, I was. Mm-hmm. I was with you up until a few months ago, and then I do photography for Captured Prey, and I was sent a production sample of Fans Toys Sever to photograph for the website, and I messed with that toy for 4 days straight. I could not put it down. I'm like, just handling it for the first time, I'm like, this is Snarl. I'm gushing here. I can't stop it up. But yeah, that's my pick. I want to ask all the fans, what are your picks? We're going to post a list of our picks in the Facebook group once the episode goes off the air. We're going to post those, and for people to agree and disagree with. And we'd like to hear your thoughts and who are your picks from throughout the ages. There's a lot of great things out there and a lot of new fans who are out there, and there's just so much for them to look for and want. And if you've got a limited budget or you don't want a room full of toys, but you want some nice display cases that you can fill with certain items, Here are our picks for top ones, and I want to hear other people's thoughts on those too. Any of you guys have any closing comments or thoughts along these lines?
Well, I'm very excited for the future of the brand. I think the last year we've seen some definite improvements as far as Generations and Masterpiece go. Combiner Wars, the upcoming Titan Wars, the masterpieces that have been announced. I think the next year is going to be a wonderful year to be a Transformers collector.
Absolutely.
My wallet is screaming already. But yeah,
the Titans, I'm looking forward to. Another reason why I don't want to recommend Metroplex is because Fort Max is supposedly a remold of that, and it looks more awesome.
From what I've seen and heard about the Fort Max coming up, The consensus seems to be that there is so much heavy remolding that there's actually very little of the original Metroplex mold left in it.
Man, as long as it's based on the same skeleton, though, it's still technically a remold.
Sure. But they would be essentially about the same as, say, Magnus and Power Master Prime, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I'm glad we did this now, because if we'd got after Titans Return games out, I'd had a hard time not recommending that stuff, because it just, I'm more excited about this than any current line, probably since Classics first came out.
Other than Masterpiece, Titan Return stuff, the moment I see that Weird Wolf on the shelf and I know it's coming, I'm going to cry. I really am. I'm going to cry. going to cry, people.
Oh, man. What do you think I'm going to feel about Galvatron? Are you kidding?
Yeah. You're probably going to have to be bailed out of jail because of the inappropriate things you're going to be doing to it
in public.
In store.
Like, I will contain myself till I get home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that big cannon. Mm-mm.
Where's your paper boy?
It's a headmaster. Well, Titan Master.
And the headmaster turns into a little Megatron, which is so fitting because Megatron became Galvatron.
Now, what was the name they gave for that? They're not actually calling it Megatron, even though it obviously
wasn't it like Nucleon or something.
I think that's what it was. Yeah,
which was actually not a name of a person. That was always a name of like a chemical.
Right.
Hmm.
I don't care. He'll be Megatron on my shelf.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's hear your thoughts, guys. I want to hear the listeners. Tweet us at TFYLP. Post in our Facebook group. What are your thoughts on this? We've been ramping up, and I pimped it really heavily at the beginning of the show. And in case that got cut off, I want to remind everybody: next week, we're not going to be broadcasting on Friday night. Not even going to bother attempting to compete with Star Wars on the opening night.
Nope.
So not even going to bother with that. But December 19th, on Saturday night, a week from today, or a week from tomorrow, we are airing at a special night, special time at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We are going to do a Secret Santa gift opening. We've already sent out our gifts to the people that we got, and we're going to be picking those up and opening them up on air. And I'm sure there's going to be some surprises and some things that it's like, wow, I can't believe that. And I'm sure there's going to be some laughter, some like, oh wow, I can't believe you got me that, like, you know. Greg got cocked today, so
not really. He wrapped my present so that it looked like a giant penis. I actually caught sideways.
I have pictures and I will share them in the private group, and video. Check out next week's episode. We've got more surprises. So if you don't just tune in for a few minutes and go watch something else or listen to it, you're going to want to watch it too. There's some really special stuff that's going to happen on this episode.
Don't blow your load and bail too soon. The good stuff's in there if you hang in.
Yeah. It's a really, really, it's shaping up to be really good. And the thing is the rest of the cast don't even know. Only me and maybe one other person knows. It's going to be a big surprise, and it's more of a surprise for the rest of the fandom too. I want a nice little Merry Christmas for everybody. So, and happy holidays. So unless everybody has any other things they want to add. You?
Nope.
Rick?
I'm good.
All right.
Looking forward to next week.
Well, not officially on topic, but, I totally met Peter Spellos this past week. The voice of R.I.D. Skybite. Yes.
You met Skybite.
Very.
Did you talk to him?
I did. Very awesome individual. I got my Generation Skybite autographed. He was actually directing a 1920s, 30s NBC radio style performance of It's a Wonderful Life just down in Franklin, Indiana last Tuesday. And it was really, really well done. So, very cool guy. Very friendly. So, if you're watching this, Peter, hi.
But, guys, check us out next week. Special night, special time, December 19th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm going to share it everywhere I possibly can. And
spread the word.
Spread the word.
Be there or be square, yeah. Because you're
and
on the ramp.
If you're watching on YouTube, right down there, see that little thing that says subscribe? Please do that. We'd love to know that you like watching us, and we love hearing from our fans. Last week's episode was nothing but fan questions answered and discussed, and it was a really entertaining listen. I listened to it at work. Once we finally got it downloaded, thanks to Jim.
Yay! But, awesome.
Yeah.
They talked about like who would win in an all-out brawl, and they also Britt because he has the training. Because I guess it was a listener question if we had a TFYLP brawl.
Yeah.
The thing is, we all know Britt's the biggest threat, so if we ganged up on him and eliminated him first,
well,
you guys
can't
know,
beat a whole mob of us.
You guys know I teach martial arts, right?
Okay, so after we get rid of Britt, then we team up and get rid of you.
But the thing is you, as far as the podcast goes, they ain't nothing you all can do to me because I can boot you all.
Well, in all that brawl in person, you can't just kick us out of the room.
Well, aside from Tobias, I am the biggest one of us all.
I can boot too.
Yeah.
Rick says the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah.
That's only if they have the itty bitty legs.
Hey,
huge upper torso.
Okay, I have taken a black hole slam from the Monster Abyss, so I know how to take a hit. I can take a bump.
You say you took a slam in the black
yeah,
hole?
Yeah. I can take a bump. So. All right.
Yeah, he can take a bump.
I'm 6'1", 255 pounds of awesome. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're the same size.
I'm a big sack of crap. I'll just
see your shorts is as big as mine.
I'm more muscle, you know.
I'll just eat plenty of beans.
Hey, my muscles jiggle, okay?
Guys, this has been episode 181 of TFYLP. I am Weird Wolf with Insane Galvatron, co-founder of TFYLP. Rick Alvarez and Jim Black. We will see you next week on our holiday episode, final live broadcast of 2015. It'll be the last show of this fiscal year and this calendar year. We won't come back until after January 1st. So tune in. It's going to be a great time. Spend your Saturday evening into Sunday with us. I don't think we'll go that long. But, you know, hey, it's sure to be a very entertaining 2 hours. Check it out. Spread the word. We will see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. That's Saturday, not Friday, by the way.
That's right.
So, Saturday. Yeah.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.